homelessness, or our dysfunctional prison and justice system, or racial tensions, or sexual immorality, or disease and cancer. The list goes on and on. We are bombarded by the brokenness all around us. This brokenness causes pain in our lives, especially when it hits close to home. And I don't know about you, but if I don't truly go to God with that pain that I experience, I tend to do one of two things. I throw a promise of God on it, just slap it on. Slap it on top and say, there, all better. I don't have to deal with it. Which really doesn't do anything. Just stifles Jesus' healing in my life. Or I ignore it, distracting myself with work, jobs around the house, time with my family. Again, even if I acknowledge the pain, I can shortchange the healing process out of an impatience and insecurity, because healing implies weakness and time. And I don't like feeling weak, let alone show real weakness to others. So instead of letting God heal me, I shut the door. I say, no, I don't need the healing. I can handle this. I justify. Well, in perspective, it's really not all that bad. Look at all the suffering around the world. I have it pretty good. Besides, people would call me a wimp or a basket case if I was really honest about my pain, right? The Bible says that I'm supposed to be strong and courageous. I'm not supposed to be terrified or discouraged, because God is with me, and that should be enough. If I show people I'm struggling, what will they think? I'm a weak Christian. I don't trust God. But what does God say? Do I look around at the world and get calloused towards the pain, hard-hearted, even in myself? Do I cave into what other people think and disregard what my Heavenly Father thinks of me? What does God say? Psalm 62, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. We live in a toughen up culture, don't we? You scrape your knee, tough it up. You get fired, tough it up. Go find another job. But these verses don't seem to say toughen up. They seem to say open up to the One who is tough. If I pour out my heart to God, I'm declaring that He is my refuge. I'm declaring that He is my salvation. I'm declaring that I will not be shaken, because He is my mighty rock. I'm declaring that I can't help myself. There's nothing I can do to save myself. My hope comes from Him alone. But the reverse of this is also true. If I don't pour out my heart to God, I'm declaring that I'm enough, that I can save myself, that I don't need refuge. I don't need to trust Him or hope in Him, because I can handle it just fine. This reminds me that when I close my heart to brokenness, I am really just closing my heart to grace. I'll say that again. When I close my heart to brokenness, what I'm really doing is closing my heart to His grace. When I close my heart to being in need, I close my heart to the Savior who loves me and gave Himself for me. This week has been a roller coaster for me. This week we remember in our family that our boy Jack would have been 5 years old. We lost him at 14 weeks in utero. I could hold him in my hand. And I did. But what I realized is that there's still pain in my heart that God wanted to reach. And I was not letting Him. I remember when I went into the hospital lab. A dad broken. And picking up my boy over the desk, who was sitting in a plastic Tupperware of formaldehyde. And I carried him home on my lap. And I put him back together piece by piece. And I built his coffin. And the pain of that tearing of life I'd made myself callous to it. And when I did that, I made myself calloused to the grace of God. Some may say that pain is weakness leaving the body. No. Pain is strength. Because it reveals the truth that the world is broken. And that we indeed are weak and we need a Savior. Pain also reveals that there is still a life left to live. There's still a fight. If you don't feel pain anymore, check your pulse. The more brokenness and pain you've experienced, the more you can understand the reality of this fallen world and the more you can appreciate Jesus. Pain is also a reminder that you've loved. You put yourself out there. And though you now may be crushed under a load of rejection or failure or maybe death, you believed in loving another being created in the image of God. And you allowed yourself to be vulnerable. And now that you're torn in two, you can't help but feel the pain. The pain reveals a bond that is stronger. The pain reveals a bond, and the stronger the bond, the stronger the pain when it is broken. Let me say that again. The pain reveals a bond, and the stronger the bond, the stronger the pain when it is broken. How great must the pain have been for the Father and for Jesus? Remember the words, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." These words describe a deep relationship. Jesus wasn't just experiencing physical pain when he was dying on the cross for us. No, much more. He and the Father were experiencing the separating effects of death on their bond of an eternal relationship. But if we are in Christ, we will never experience that pain of total separation from God. We may be separated now in this life from the eternity that God has put in our hearts, but it is separation of the body. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling." In the brokenness, in the pain, in the groaning, we declare our need for Jesus. We long for Him. We long to be with Him, free from the troubles of this life, and finally at home in the Lord. But like a lump of charcoal under extreme pressure and heat, this brokenness, this pain, this groaning produces in us a cherished, hard-as-diamond conviction, hope. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in the sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. I'm always caught by that phrase, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Why don't we just rejoice in the glory of God? Why do we rejoice in the hope? Can you even begin to imagine the glory of God in heaven? What overwhelming wonder. We sang that hymn last week, the carol, Once in Royal David's City, in the last line, and at last our eyes shall see Him, who is God and Lord of all. But I'm not in heaven yet. I'm in Christ who is in heaven, but I'm also still in the body. And so I hope, I put my hope in what is unseen. We see the glory of God in creation, and we have experienced glimpses of God's glory in our hearts because of Jesus. But as Paul says, now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. The conclusion. Let your companion to the brokenness of this world be the promises of God. Hebrews 12 reminds us that God is shaking the earth. Will not only shake the earth, but also the heavens. This is to reveal what cannot be shaken. God, our refuge. And if we are in Him, we will not be shaken, but we will be secure in Him. The writer of Hebrews leaves us with a picture of hope, a picture of contentment in God. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are in the now and not yet Advent season. A season of longing for Jesus' return. So hold on to the brokenness of the world in one hand, so you don't become callous to it. And hold on to God's promises in the other. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making all things new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the springs of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. She will be my daughter. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.